Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast number 369. I will be telling jokes in Philadelphia at Helium, June 27th, 28th, and 29th. So come on out to that. Tickets at nerdist.com/calendar. Hey, thanks to LegalZoom for sponsoring this episode of the Nerdist Podcast. Hey, why don't you trademark your stuff? Why not? Come up with a phrase and trademark it, and then become a millionaire. But you should protect your intellectual property. Also, maybe incorporate a former LLC. LegalZoom will help you do all that. They've helped about a million businesses get started right. You can celebrate innovation with LegalZoom, and for a limited time, get a special price on trademarking and copywriting using the referral code Nerdist at checkout. Protect your creations and launch your dream at LegalZoom.com. LegalZoom can provide sub-up services at your specific direction, or they can connect you to an attorney, but they are not a law firm. Don't forget to use a referral code Nerdist. This episode is Joe Manganiello, who we've become pals with because he's done the Nerdist TV show, he's done some stuff on the Nerdist channel on YouTube, and so we finally got him on. I mean, the guy looks like Hercules, but he happens to have the mind of Aristotle. After we did this podcast, Jonah sent me a really sincere text that was just like, Manganiello's just really inspiring, but really, really, really funny, and we go off on a pretty amazing wrestling tangent. So I would like to remind you that True Blood comes back Sunday, June 16th. So, if you're listening after this, then go back and watch it on the HBO Go app or whatever. But this is the Nerdist Podcast number 369 with our pal Joe Manganiello, who I think now is officially the pack leader of this podcast.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
That episode was hilarious.
Good.
Oh my god, so funny.
Muscle milk.
What is this?
Hey, how's it going? go ahead and record, Katie.
It's filled with human blood.
It's got muscle milk. I have sugar-free Red Bull. Here's why we look like we do.
It's actually made of muscles.
You having another energy drink?
Well, it's here in case.
You can't have another energy drink.
What are you talking about? I'm ready to go. Let's do the podcast. It's gonna be great.
let's mix our drinks.
Did you
together.
Hear my heart explode? I think it did.
Sugar-free Red Bull. Strawberry muscle milk.
That's a dare. That's a good dare. Can we get a cup?
We should get a cup out.
I have 4 seconds before all the blood that was pumped into my body is gone.
It's not your heart's not going to sound like an explosion. You're just going to hear like a. It's just going to be like a pop.
Oh, you need
Jonah Water.
That's why you didn't hear.
We're going to be left with the cleanup. Do I get a fun headset too or no?
Yeah, they're right,
oh,
right there.
Oh, go cool, great.
They're not that fun though.
Dude.
Thank you.
Not unless you think round's funny.
Round is funny. God, I haven't seen Raising Arizona in so long. I gotta watch that again.
It's good, holds up.
Totally holds up.
It really
up.
Does.
Did you see the trailer for the new Coen Brothers?
No, watch out, what?
Yeah. New Coen Brothers movie. It looks like it's kind of about Bob Dylan. Kind of, you know.
Just, kind of, sort of.
Yeah. But it looks really good.
Somebody reviewed Pain and Gain as a Coen Brothers movie starring the Three Stooges.
What?
Did you see it?
No, but I actually really want to see it. It looks really fun.
It's kind of accurate. I mean, no, you know, I'm, yeah.
Oh, is that The Rock movie?
Yeah,
he's
Mark Wahlberg.
Not only The Rock.
I'm sorry, I mean Dwayne Johnson.
Yes.
Or Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
The Rock. The Rock and Marky Mark.
Drock.
Yeah.
And Marky Mark.
Yeah.
Rocky Rock and Marky Mark.
Rocky Rock.
Yeah.
Rocky Rock.
Did you see it?
I did.
How was it?
Hilarious.
Is it funny?
I swear.
Is it supposed to be funny?
Yes.
Hilarious.
It is. Yeah.
It's the darkest, weirdest story that takes place in one of the funniest periods, I think, in American history. Like 90s Miami bodybuilding.
Okay, that makes sense now, the way they're all fucking jacked
like
up.
Like Zubaz pants and motivational speaker tapes. Yeah. And I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing.
I had no idea. I thought it was just like, this is a muscle head.
Based
you know.
On a true story where these guys scammed their rich training clients and held them captive and made them force them to sign over their mansions and millions.
Oh, wow.
And then like murdered them by sawing them apart with power saws. Sorry,
whoa,
I'm giving away
Jesus.
The whole plot. I mean, it's crazy. It's really nuts.
That's a real story
really
that happened.
Yeah, really
I
want to
see it even more now.
Yeah. Now I am going to go see it.
Yeah.
God damn it. Let's go right after this.
Was that the last movie you saw?
Was it the last movie I saw? Maybe. No, I saw... I saw Fast and Furious.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Listen, nothing wrong with that. The movie made like a $500 million. I mean, someone had to see it.
There was a lot wrong with that.
Well, there's also a lot right with that.
I felt I would have been lost because I've never seen another one. So.
Yeah, you should probably start at the beginning.
Yeah, just I would be like,
you're gonna get totally lost.
Let's get Vin Diesel and The Rock confused.
No, yeah. You won't. What's funny about that is The Rock looks bigger than he did in Pain and Gain. Yeah, like he looks like he like ate himself from Pain and Gain.
He doesn't need it. He's so charming.
And or, that, but he's bigger than every, like, he walks into frame and you can see nothing but The
it,
Rock.
Or is it like in Total Recall? Maybe that's his disguise to get onto Mars.
Oh, that's his fat lady.
2 weeks.
Yeah. That's his fat lady.
That's pretty fucking, that's pretty spectacular.
Oh, he's huge and it's great and I recommend it.
Isn't it insane that these people just found this weird subgenre where they have no competition? Like, let's just make fast car racing, street car racing movies.
But it's Point Break. I mean, the dude is like, Johnny Utah, I'm undercover, but I went too deep and fell for the girl. And the lines are blurring, bro.
Yeah.
But it's just for another, like, activity. For Point Break, it was surfing and bank robbing. This is.
And jumping out of planes.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But
and this is just car racing.
But the sixth movie in a series to make, like, that many hundreds of millions of dollars.
They're going 10.
Yeah.
At least. I mean, Paul Walker basically just. He just makes one of those movies a year. He probably gets 15 or 20 million bucks to do a movie per year.
He's good.
He's set.
He's fine.
He's set.
Fine, have there been non-horror movie franchises that have gone this many? Besides, I guess, like Star Trek.
Star Wars?
Bond.
And like Bond. But I mean... Yeah, are there? What are we talking
about? Police Academy?
Yeah, because they're still
there were a lot of police academies.
Yeah, they did do six... Did they do seven?
Did they do a seven?
Yeah, they did a direct
like the
video.
Next generation.
I think that was like the third one because that was Citizens on Patrol, and that was like kind of like getting a bunch of new people.
Bobcat Goldthwait.
Yep. David Spade. David Spade is like, I could do that. That handstand stuff. I just hate it when the change falls out of my pockets. It's a great line.
That's a fucking. I haven't seen any of the Police Academy movies since they came out. Yeah,
you saw them all in the theater.
I did see.
Opening
I saw a
night,
lot of them.
You were that guy opening night. Oh my
I watched
God,
the original
Mahoney.
Police Academy so many times, and then I was on board. I was on board for all of them, even after he left. Even after he stopped doing them.
Right. Miami was 5, and then Mission to Moscow was 6, or was that City Under Siege?
City Under Siege. City Under Siege, I think
City
is.
That was 6.
Thank you, Katie.
Mission to Moscow was 7.
It doesn't have a number, so I'm assuming it's 7.
Yeah, it is 7.
It's rad. We have fact-checking.
Now, why?
So rad.
Yeah, it's 94.
So when you see like a Pain and Gain or even, you know what? Listen, even fucking Fast and Furious 7, or do you call your agent and go, look, they should just meet with me. I mean, come on.
I need the addition on my house.
Listen.
I got the middle-range pool furniture. I need the better.
I mean, you know, you've got $10 million abs. You should be getting $10 million for them. I mean, let's do it. Come on.
Let's get on the phone right now.
Right now.
Is that computer? Get on the phone.
Let's fix this.
Can you make a call with that? Skypey?
Plus, they would save money on Apple boxes if you did a scene with The Rock. They wouldn't have to put the Apple box there for Vin Diesel.
Was he tall, too?
Vin Diesel's not tall.
No. The Rock's
huge.
6'5", right?
6'5"?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Can we get a
fact check on The Rock?
Can I get a fact check?
You know what I found
out?
Fact check Isle Rock?
That guy, Bob Benson, that weird mysterious guy in Mad Men, apparently he's like 6'4", or 6'5".
Which one's Bob Benson?
He's the one guy that's like always with the coffee and stuff.
The guy rubbed his knee up against Pete Campbell's last night?
Yeah.
Fair enough. 6'3", you would tower over The Rock.
He's 6'3".
But he's a...
Okay, yeah.
But yeah, apparently he's like tall and they have to shoot him so he looks a lot smaller than everybody else.
No way.
Yeah.
Why do they do that? I get mad every time I'm on the street and someone comes up to me and goes, man, you're a lot bigger in person. I'm like, God damn it. Like, what does it look like? It's because they walk on platforms on the show. Like, it's not right.
Here, I'll trade with you where it's like, oh, you're not as tall as I thought you were.
Do you have to do a lot of those like things when you're like, maybe like they're doing like an over the shoulder where you have to kind of spread your legs out so you're like, is there ever a problem with your height?
It's happened. That has happened. But mostly they just build these elaborate platforms and walkways.
It's like you're on a Muppet set.
It's like they just dig a ditch. Yes. Yeah, I'm just walking in this ditch.
Everyone's
it's like some kind of
around you.
Yeah. Weird Orson Welles experiment of I'm just walking in a ditch and they're up the hill.
It looks like your 4/5 torso. It's like tiny legs.
It makes me mad. They'll stand us on the hill and they'll be like, all right, you stand down the hill. No. Let me stand up the hill so
you're
I look even taller.
Big. You're too big. Yeah.
That's the whole point.
That's why you became so tall.
Yeah.
Why'd you make that choice? Why'd you make the tall choice?
You don't make
blame
that
my parents.
Were you a comfortable tall guy as a kid? Because Jonah was a not comfortable tall guy.
guy as a kid.
Slouch. I was just like, you know, everyone. I grew up in Hawaii where everyone was like really short in Hawaii.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I found myself like kind of hunching over a lot to talk to people.
It was a little bit of both. When I got to college there, I had a posture problem. Like I was apologizing. You know, I was like hunching. Yeah. You know, I was saying, oh, I'm sorry for being this
tall.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. I'm not going to kill you.
I'm like, don't be scared. Yeah. Like, come talk to me.
Yeah.
You know, like,
I said, don't be scared.
Yeah. But growing up, I had sports, and so from a young age, I was always head and shoulders bigger than the other kids. So it was not awkward because, like, call me awkward and let's put on the helmets, you know, or something, you know.
Yeah.
And I was the mean kid.
So that was right after school, and then right after practice, you were swiping comic books from your local comic book shop, is what we found out on the TV show.
Yeah, yeah. Just avid comic book reader, and I thought that, you know, asking my dad for the money to buy all these comics for how fast I read them, that was never going to fly. So, and I just didn't even want to hear it. I didn't even want to see the face he was going to make when I asked him for more money to go buy books and comic books. So I just turned to crime. And at a very, very young age, started scoping comic book stores out and looking for the sight lines behind the register and then how to not be seen. And then I'd wear pants with like the elastic waistband, you know. And so
we should do a video recreation here.
We need steal comic books.
Really thick frame glasses. We need some parachute pants with elastic band.
We should just have those anyway.
We should. Yeah. They should bring them
back. I don't think we need them for that. We just have them.
We just have
them. But you had glasses, or you just put them on as a disguise?
No, I'm like blind. Like I wear contacts, and I'm without them, I am blind.
You ever think about LASIK?
Can't do it. They're so bad.
Me too.
That my eyes are so oddly shaped, and I have so few microns on the lens that they can't flap the lens,
really?
And they can't get in there.
I've been thinking about it lately.
I think you're better off. You know, my eyes are okay, but...
Oh, so we're better off?
Yep.
Must be easy to say.
You wear my glasses.
Yeah. You know, exactly. where someone goes, where they go, I mean, you know, when they put the laser in there, look, you're only blind for a minute. Like, that would be the fucking worst minute of my life. I'm like, my sight's not coming back. Like, I don't think my anxiety...
Do you feel that way when you go to sleep at night?
Yeah.
What's happening? 8 hours of this.
But when your eyes are open and you can't see anything, that would freak me out.
But it's the prospect of maybe, you know, waking up in the morning and just being able to see.
You know,
it's just
my
like,
brother got it, and I was like, what was it like the first morning, you know?
Yeah, I've been thinking about it a lot lately. I don't even know if I can get them because my eyes are pretty bad.
Yeah, my astigmatism's too bad.
Yeah, mine too. It'd be the reverse of Superman 2 when he wakes up for the first time as a normal person.
Yeah.
And then gets his shit kicked out of him at that biker bar or whatever.
Yeah. It's a diner, really.
It was a diner. It wasn't even like a biker bar.
It's not
like
a biker bar.
That's what makes it so sad, guys drinking at a diner.
Yeah.
They were drinking.
Was he drinking?
It was breakfast.
Was it?
Yeah.
They were truckers. They were probably somewhere in Alaska or Canada.
He shit beat out of him.
He really did, yeah. But then he went back, you know. Let's see what that last scene should have been. Of course, it's Superman, so he's not gonna, but he really should have just ripped that guy limb from limb and then just spread the guy's limbs all over the globe.
That would have been a much more interesting ending.
Yeah.
Just him in the back alley at the trash dumpster holding like an arm and a leg.
Yeah, exactly.
Covered in blood. Like, what did I? No,
what did
like,
I do?
That felt so good, you know.
Being human ruined me.
He can take him to each part of the world too. Take him to like Alaska, pull off a finger, then fly over to China, pull off another finger, and then just continue that throughout the entire world.
And then there's like a detective played by Ed Harris who finds like a finger in Alaska, and it's like, what does this mean? And then starts putting it together, and it takes him like 20 years.
He's like seven.
He could punch that guy so many times, so fast that he could turn the guy into soup, which they would then serve at the diner as a warning to the other
truckers. He could do it so fast he could feed himself to himself.
He could feed the guy to himself, his lower half, and then as the guy would be shitting out the liquid of his lower half,
he just has like a pot something underneath, and he's like, take that.
Yeah. We just made an itchy and scratchy cartoon.
I do like combining Superman and Seven, though. That'd be pretty fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Pretty genius.
Flying Lois head's head in a fucking box.
I don't know. You're going to laugh, but I think this guy can fly.
What?
No, seriously. I just, you know, gets laughed off the force.
He puts on these weird tight clothes and kind of just runs around.
I found a piece of spandex with his finger. I don't know what it means.
You've got to be in a superhero movie sooner or later. Flash Thompson, of course, you were in a superhero movie, but I mean, you've got to be a superhero
like
in a movie.
Like a superpowered guy. Yeah. Well, you know, the show is golden handcuffs, you know, True Blood, because, you know, because of being on that show, now people know who I am.
Yeah.
But it, because of that show, I can't go off and do those movies.
Sure.
Because I have about four and a half months during a hiatus to squeeze whatever I can in.
Right.
And most action movies take 5 to 6 months to shoot, plus reshoots.
Right.
Plus, you know, you're going to come back. I mean, I went through it all.
Yeah.
I went through this. And then, you know, you have to go do press. And so you're going to have to, you know, you can't take the movie around without the guy. And then
right.
I'm going to come back with a shaved face and short hair for the show that I need a beard long. You know, it's just the whole thing. And when on TV, you sign a 6-year contract and
yeah.
you belong to them and they okay everything you do, even if you're in your off season.
Right.
So you really kind of, you know. Belong to them,
it's
but someday
the, it's the yeah. I mean, it's the sort of it's the blessing curse. Like, yay,
I got this awesome job, and now it's sitting in the you know Zack Snyder's office, and I can't do the movie.
I am pretty excited about you know, as I've said to you many times before, I do watch True Blood, and I'm so excited to see what happens next.
It's pretty crazy. I just read the finale. So we're shooting the finale as everything starts airing, and
yep.
The finale's kind of insane, like nice. Really.
Well,
insane.
Tell us about it.
Well, yeah.
Hey, I got an easy way to get you out of your contract. Yeah.
Why didn't I think of that? Yeah, totally.
Sexy results.
Just blab the whole storyline of the season on the Nerdist podcast, like exclusive Joe explains episode by episode.
Yeah, no one really listens to it. So
people get mad about spoilers. They want to know, but then they don't want to know.
No, don't. They get mad at you.
Are you mad about spoilers, or do you like, I don't give a shit?
I stay away from them. I like to go into things without any sort of, you know, preconceived anything. I don't like to know anything. I just want to walk in without. I don't read reviews. I don't go to Rotten Tomatoes. I don't look at anything.
Yeah,
I just stay away.
I don't know if I ever told you this, but one time I was coming back from Atlanta. Oh, I think it was DragonCon this past year.
Yeah,
and you were two people in front of me in the TSA line. And when you got up to the X-ray machine, all of the ladies working TSA fucking lost their minds. Like, oh, it's the werewolf! Like, they went crazy. And all I could think was, he's going to go through that millimeter wave detection machine, and they're just going to go in the back and look at the outline of his dong, and I feel so bad for him. Like, it was the one time I was like, oh, this poor guy. I was watching you get objectified, and I was like, oh, you know, like, and something about it was like, oh, I don't know. That doesn't feel right for some reason.
I never thought about my dong's x-ray in the back. Now, every time I go through TSA,
I'm sure they don't.
I'm going to think about my dong being x-rayed.
All I'm
right
saying
when you
is,
go through, I'm going to go, it's my break. I gotta go.
All I'm saying is, on the DL, I give mine a flick before I go through, just to, you know, just to try to
just to fluff it up.
Yeah,
I want
to
that.
Get it.
A flick.
I want that to be true.
Just to get pumped up.
So what does it take for you to get worked up? No, just a little flick.
Just a little bit of attention.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Hey,
squeeze
man.
The tip.
Yeah, yeah. That's something. That's like, you know, that's more time taken.
I just
flick.
Take
so dismissive.
I have my penis pump for Magic Mike. duck into the bathroom really quick. Just hit that thing a couple of times, get it right, and then go my x-ray.
And then go to the x-ray. And then have to explain what the pump is every time. Because you have to take it with you because you're going to need it for the trip back.
No, yeah, yeah. And they're like, what
buys
is
a new
yeah,
one every time.
Yeah. Totally. You can't
it.
Take this on board. I'm taking it. Yeah. You know, well, on a serious note, I think True Blood is the favorite show of TSA. I think it is TSA's favorite show. I think it's also the favorite show at the DMV.
Do you, I find it weird what the TSA watches.
Like, I find the TSA to be
pretty... TSA loved G4.
They were so nerdy. I had a Thundercats bag, and the TSA was the only people that were the only people in public that ever went, that's a Thundercats logo, every time I went through TSA.
So weird.
Interesting. Mm. And I do get a lot of, it's the werewolf. Oh, get over here.
Yeah,
I do get that. Yeah.
Yeah. And, of course, you have to oblige because they can put you on a no-fly list.
Hey, what's up? Yo, man, when are you getting with Sookie? You know, every time.
Oh, yeah, I don't
seriously.
Know.
Seriously. Well, you know,
when
I sit down to write the entire show, I should have thought that through better.
I'm Joe. I play a character that hooks up with Sookie.
I'll keep it on the down low. You don't want anyone to know
man.
You.
Come on.
It is that sort of funny thing. Like,
great dong. By the way.
The Joe Manganiello story.
I just took my break.
There's that sort of weird thing where people, it's the jokingly like, I know you're not your character, but you're really kind of your character. They do.
Oh, yeah. They treat me like I'm a werewolf in real life. Oh, what's up, man? It's the wolf. Oh, it's the packmaster. Come on, man. What's up?
We always make the joke of like, it's a documentary. You're shooting the documentary.
Yeah.
This is what's going on in Louisiana right now.
Yeah, totally.
Are you, has it been? Have you had fun this season so far?
I've had fun. You know, with that, I will say that being a Packmaster, you think, oh man, Packmaster, awesome job. It sucks. It's the worst job on the planet.
You're president of Wolves.
They suck. It's terrible.
It's hard. You have there's so much politics,
and there's nearly no. I mean, what's the upside? I mean, what are we doing out there?
No,
like, what do we go thatch that roof? I mean, what do we like? What's our job?
You know, you have to keep everyone in line. You want to be like the number two guy, not the head guy with all the responsibility.
Yeah, you just kind of want to come over for the keg party on Sunday.
No,
I think.
You're basically just a wolf with paperwork and having to do Excel sheets.
At least no one questions your sexuality because the Boy Scouts said no gay Packmasters.
they did.
No, they reversed that.
Good.
No.
Didn't they?
Boy Scouts can be gay, but people in charge cannot.
not the Packmasters.
Not until they change the name Packmaster.
Switch.
Troopmaster for Boy Scouts.
It is. You are an interesting, almost dichotomous puzzle to me.
Thank you.
Not you.
Well,
thank you.
I get what you're about. But Joe, we've had this conversation a couple of times, which is, you know, how are you? I'm fascinated by the guy who has had a foot in both worlds, because now everyone's kind of nerdy. Like, that's just become a part of our culture.
Yeah.
Video games and technology and whatnot. It's not an early adoptery thing anymore. But you legitimately, in a period of time when it was not so much fluid in terms of pop culture, that you really did have a foot in both worlds.
Yeah. Yes. I just was that kid. I mean, for the first time I could get my hands on a Stephen King book, like, that was it, you know? And I used to draw. I wanted to be a comic book artist when I was a kid. I drew compulsively, like, almost like, okay, kid, like, what the hell is wrong with you? And there were always pictures of these monsters ripping limbs off of human beings and entrails and,
nice.
You know, eating that. And, you know, my father saw the pictures of these crazy monsters and the Stephen King books and thought, my kid's a fucking psycho. So he, like, hid all the books. And,
oh, wow.
You know, yeah, and then I think that really led me to crime. So it was like, okay, let's go. Let's go steal some more and read them, you know? So it was kind of like this secret, you know, guerrilla thing I had going on for sci-fi and fantasy and comic books and superheroes. And but I think what happened is, you know, by the time I got to high school, you know, I was an athlete, so I fit in with the jocks because I was always the captain of the team because I was just, you know, built like that. But inside, I was always that kid. And so when acting happened, I think in my mind it was really about, you have a chance to play a superhero. Like, let's take the little kid and let's hit the gym really hard and try to look like that comic book, and then let's see what happens down
the line. Oh, the nerd drove the jock!
Kind of, yeah. It was like the nerdy kid was like, come on, man, we got to make this look right and go to drama school so when you can work with these great directors and do it right and not do a shitty superhero movie, because there's nothing worse than shitty superhero movie. I mean, it's like, literally, there's nothing worse. I mean, my top five all-time worst movies are probably superhero movies gone bad.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, it hurts me to watch them and makes me angry. And I never, you know, I wanted to make good ones. And so the fact that True Blood came along, and I'm really, you know, playing a super-powered character.
Sure, yeah.
So it's kind of like my superhero training wheels.
And a good guy, unless anything's changed this last season, which you can't say. Oh, fucking come on. Oh, man. Well, that's what man. God damn it. Oh, man.
So I think there's a lot of that. I think that's what I'm driven by, is to then go, you know, double back and be able to play those characters and do it the right way and look the right way and have it feel the right way.
That's good. You know? That's good. I'm tired of trying to figure out if Bill's fucking good or a piece of shit. God damn it.
Billeth. Yeah.
Yes, of course. Oh, yeah, Billeth.
He's Billeth now.
Yeah, he is. Yes. For anyone who hasn't watched, you should catch up, because it's soon. Like, it's soon. By the time this podcast goes up, it's like in 2 days.
You need to watch like a season a day right now.
Yeah.
Like, get on it.
Do it.
Which is fun. It's a fun show to you could burn through pretty fast if you have the HBO app too. The thing that trips me up about the HBO app is that I'm like, oh my god, I can watch 48 hours. All right, you know, it's just like going and watching all of the comedies that I wanted to watch
Unlimited supply of heroin.
Oh my god. So was that
heroin?
Yes, it's great, right? That's how you got so big.
Yeah, totally.
Heroin will make you strong, kids. Yeah.
Heroin and peanut butter.
that's all you need. And a penis pump.
Really big. And a penis pump for TSA.
What was your pop culture life like, aside from comic books, when you were growing up? Like, what were your movies?
growing up as a kid, I mean, it was Star Wars, it was G.I. Joe cartoons, it was He-Man, mm-hmm. it was, oh God, I mean, what else was I into? There was a short-lived series called The Inhumanoids that used to run opposite of Gem.
Okay.
It was Inhumanoids. There were these monsters that lived beneath the earth.
Oh, that counter program didn't work. I watched Gem. I'm sorry.
They had the Misfits. They were hot.
Godzilla.
Yep.
The old black and white Universal horror movies, Wolfman, Frankenstein, Bela Lugosi's Dracula. I was always into that stuff. I was always staying up late watching, Tales from the Crypt.
Yep.
I remember sneaking into the theater to see Pet Sematary way before I should have snuck in and almost having a near panic attack.
When
the kid gets hit by the truck.
You don't want to go over there. You don't want to go over that hill over there.
It was hard to.
Sometimes dead is better.
Yeah, you just don't want to stay away from that area specifically right there.
The description of it in the book is hard, like even just watching it, the movie, yeah. You know. Although, you know, Pet Sematary as a movie, like it, I thought it was okay. I didn't love the movie.
I think at 9 years old, yeah. It was a little like, oh my God, this is like I'm screwed up forever, you know.
What it needed was some furlong, and it got it in the sequel.
There you go. I guess, because there are so many movies, like, if you go back and watch Poltergeist, like I remember being a kid and thinking Poltergeist was the scariest movie I had, you know, had seen, and then you go back and watch it.
Like, really?
And the effects don't hold up as well as you remember. Well,
I'll tell you the one that really messed me up was David Lynch's Elephant Man. I remember seeing that as a little kid, creepy. Just how mean they were to him. Yeah. I mean, it was like, you know, that freaked me out.
You know who the executive producer of that movie was? Mel Brooks.
It was a Brooks film.
It's true.
Interesting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right?
Interesting. Yeah, that is interesting.
They made him cut out all the jokes.
And all the songs.
All the songs.
I'm an elephant man. Man.
Doing what an elephant can. Yeah, that was actually a Mel Brooks movie. He actually was a producer on that movie.
Yeah.
That movie was pretty fucked up. Phantasm fucked me up really hard when I was a kid.
What I was also into, all of all of the Schwarzenegger movies, all the sci-fi, the Predator, Terminator, the Conan movies,
Running Man.
I watched that recently.
Still holds up.
Oh my God!
I mean, it doesn't
so
really
great.
Hold up, but it holds up.
It holds up in this fantastic way.
Yeah,
I mean,
and if you ever go to the Sony lot in Culver City, that building across the street on, I think the street is Madison, was the building where that was the television studio that they used for Running Man. So the shots when they're pulling into that building on the outside and Killian's pulling in, like that's this building across from the Sony lot in Culver City.
I love it.
Nice. And so are you gonna write stuff now? Or have you ever thought about doing a comic book? Do you want to?
Yeah, there's one I grew up with. There's one when I went to return all those comic books that I stole.
Oh, that's right. Okay, so quickly.
14 years later.
Quickly tell that story just in case people didn't see it on the TV show.
So I robbed these stores, you know, blind. Like just you know, without a thought and anything I could get. And I remember, I got the comics that are in the really valuable ones that are in back of on the wall. Like somehow I had those. Like I had like number ones and number twos.
It was very good.
Yeah, I got good at it. And so 14 years later, they were still at my mom's house. And I was going through this period of like, let's try to be an adult and clean up all this stuff. And, you know, and so I found them in my mom's closet and I called up the store and they were still there. And I went and returned them to the owner, who was still at the store 14 years later, and like mall security came over and we were talking about this on the Nerdist show. And so like mall security came over and was like, what's going on here? Cause I had this huge, big bag. It was gigantic. And it was all the, you know, the great stuff at that time. It was the Frank Miller Wolverine in Japan. And I had the Todd McFarlane Spider-Mans, like all of them. And I had, I had like, you know, all the Punisher Sicilian saga. And I mean, all that, like this really kind of those golden age, like awesome Ghost Rider number two. This is great stuff. And I went and returned them all. And, the owner, you know, looked down and went, you know, these are fucking old. And I went, I know, you know, they're yours, they belong to you. And he went, what are you fucking kidding me? I went, yeah. And he goes, okay, you're absolved. I'm like, wave his hand. He goes, okay. And the mall security guy looked at me and just like raised his eyebrows and shrugged. And I was like, all right, I'm out of here. And I said, oh, by the way, there's one comic I'm keeping. I'm going to give you the money for it. And I paid him for this one and I kept it.
Yeah.
And that's the one that I want to make.
Do you not want to say what it is because you don't want anyone else to make it?
it?
Yeah, no, I don't want to say it yet.
Okay,
I don't think.
Okay,
Archie.
Okay.
But there's...
Jughead.
Yeah. You invented the best Jughead. Mean,
yeah.
Yeah.
No one's done it.
Stay out of Riverdale.
Comic books are so hot right now.
The Rock is Reggie.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Get Paul Walker in there somewhere.
Fucking awesome. Yes!
I They're mean, racing cars.
Yes, yes! Yeah. Fast and the Furious, the Archies. Like, that could be the seventh movie. Because at this point, they doesn't fucking matter what they do. People are going to go see that seventh movie.
Totally. Christopher Nolan producing. Oh. We've got a totally new take on Archie. We're going to edgy. It's going to be so edgy. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, do you know what's happening in the seventh Fast and the Furious movie?
No.
I'll spoil the ending for everybody. Right. Spoiler alert, everybody.
Spoiler protector!
Oh, yeah. Sets up the sequel.
So that's he's but at the end of the sixth.
But at, well,
did you find out if that was?
Don't, I don't know. You don't know.
What
but you
do,
think?
But what do
you
think?
Think it's the guy from
Spoiler protector.
Like they're fucking bridging these two wonderful franchises into one happy, happy place.
And Freddy Krueger.
Yeah,
they all fall asleep.
Don't go to sleep. Fresh meat. Don't fall asleep on the wheel.
Oh,
I think that actually no. Was that in one of them?
It has to be.
He killed in New Nightmare. I know he killed a guy that was falling asleep at the wheel. I remember that part. He comes up from the middle of it.
Oh yeah.
You might be a fun Freddy Krueger, like just as a
let's
like
do
to,
it.
To mix it up.
I'm into it.
It's like it'll definitely be better than the last one.
Which what was the last?
It should have been great. It was Jackie Earle Haley.
Oh yeah,
Freddy Krueger,
right.
And they made it too like that character just needs a little bit of camp, and I think they just made him too serious,
yeah,
too edgy.
they tried, you know, like they just tried to make it too. Even New Nightmare was pretty good
because we
New
were Nightmare totally fine with the fact that he molested and murdered children because he made jokes.
That movie was also produced by Mel Brooks. This time there were no checks and balances. He got to do what he really wanted to do with it. There was no David Lynch to say
That's
no. I don't think we should do that.
He's so likable.
Yeah,
hand knife. I've got these hand knives. Okay, again, we can't put music in this movie. Yeah. That's what they should do. I'm surprised they haven't started sapping all of the horror movies to just like make Broadway shows. Like if they made Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark, like why couldn't they make a Nightmare on Elm Street musical?
Completely.
It starts with kids singing 1-2 Freddy's Coming for You and you go from there.
Huge around Halloween.
Yeah.
So you could do it for a month.
Just one, yeah,
millions of dollars. And then
this
never
giant
again.
Hand like the size of the stage rises up. Oh, like dancers on top of the fingers.
The boiler room.
Each finger has like Rockette legs underneath it.
It's a showgirl with a knife on her head.
Like, exactly.
And then next year we'll be at the Tonys with NPH. It. It's going to be great.
I love it.
God, he fucking crushes it every year.
He's great.
Too bad no one watches.
They do too watch.
The Tonys. Nobody watches
they
the Tonys.
They do watch the Tonys.
You just think that because you were on Twitter.
They do watch the Tonys. I think they do
All right,
watch the
I'll
Tonys.
Find the ratings out right
All
now.
Right, get the overnights.
Guarantee you more people see Talking Dead.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a very
cable.
Popular show, man. I mean, you
know,
so now,
what were like your pop cultures? Like, what was your thing?
I was all it was sci-fi and comedy. So it was I like all the movies that you described. I liked, you know, like your Dragon Slayers and Krull and like all those movies. Mm. But then I also, you know, when I was younger, if you were to ask me what my tops were, it would have been like Caddyshack, Fletch, Ghostbusters, Animal House,
right?
You know.
Yeah,
it would have been all comedies and then mixed in with some of the sci-fi stuff.
But you're 34?
36.
Yeah. So like there's kind of a bridge in the gap here between us all, like because you were talking about like being 9 when you saw Pet Sematary.
I think I was some really wickedly inappropriate age.
Yeah, and what's crazy is that everyone I grew up with, like, you know, like I don't know how, but we all saw rated R movies in the theaters, like the whole
crew.
Yeah,
back then it was like you want some beer,
my dad,
kid?
Over there.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, who cares? Yeah.
They're stricter now than they were.
Oh yeah, you got to show an ID now.
Yeah, then they didn't really fucking.
I think it's like just lawsuits. You know, back then I was like, don't sue anybody.
I got ID'd for buying a DVD of The Devil's Advocate in like 1998. And I was like, what the fuck?
Jesus.
I just think they wanted to get a log of who was actually buying that
movie. I just
want
to make sure you're a real person buying this DVD.
Yeah.
Big Pacino fan. Had to.
Did the person behind the counter was like, now just to play Devil's Advocate, are you sure you want this movie?
That was at Webhead Comics in Wakefield, Massachusetts.
This is what?
You want me to do my sister?
Yeah.
Whoa.
The presidents are surfers?
Do it! Do it! I'm the devil! Okay.
It's a good Bill Hader.
Thank you.
Jujubes.
So do you have you? So this comic, this thing that you're working on, have you been working on the script, or is it just sort of like it's in the back of your head? And you...
I mean, I sat down and wrote a treatment for it and started, you know, formulating what I would do. I even talked to the guy who created it and started kind of building a relationship with him.
I know there's a room in your house that's Batman. Behind a bookcase that's just like fucking drawings everywhere and story arcs and
yeah, a little bit. I mean, you know, when the time is right, the time is right. Because yeah. I mean, there's, like I said, there's only so much I can do right now.
Right.
It's more about, you know, once the show's over, then okay, then what are we gonna do here?
Do people do you have the ability? I mean, like, you know, when people see you on the show and they, you know, they maybe they make an assumption. They go, "Oh, that guy, yeah, he's a hunky actor guy." And then you go, "No, I'm actually smart and I really have these ideas." Do you find that they pay? I mean, like, have you ever suffered because of your looks and people not taking you seriously for being an intelligent guy?
Oh, I think people think I'm this roided up meathead. For sure, because that's what they see. You know, especially the past, like, 3 or 4 years. It's True Blood, shirt off, big country dude running around in the woods.
Yeah.
Like, you know. Magic Mike, like GHB drinking, male stripper,
shirt off,
in a G-string, shirt off, you know, and then, you know, what to expect when you're expecting, like shirtless dude in the park doing chin-ups. I mean, this is just kind of what's unfolded, and yeah. You just go with it because, you know, you ride the horse the direction it's going. You just, okay, these are great projects with great people, and I'm going to do it, and that's awesome. But it's like one side. I mean, I remember being on set one day. It was funny, and you know, one of the castmates turned to me and went, "So, like, did you grow up on a farm?" Or, like, what, you know? And I'm like, "No, I grew up in, like, 90210 suburbia." Like, you know, like, come on, man. So I think it's funny that people see that. And, you know, but this fall I'm going to do Streetcar at Yale.
Oh, wow.
Oh, fun. So, you know, but that's...
Humble brag.
Could you take your shirt off? God damn it.
He actually does take his shirt off
God
in the play.
God damn it.
So it's you have to tear it off, you know? And yell Stella, yeah. Just like Flanders.
Yeah, and then you sing.
Yeah.
New Orleans. Yeah, so I'm going to go do that, which is funny because I think people go, "Oh, wow, well, he's going to do..." That's what I was doing for like 15 years before all of this stuff happened. So
right.
It's funny that, you know, I thought I was doing fantastic work for those 15 years that no one gave a shit about until the pants came off, and then all of a sudden their shirt.
All right.
Yeah, it's just kind of like a funny... It's just funny how it went.
That's a tale as old as Hollywood itself.
God.
No one cares till your
I would
pants
say
come
older.
Off.
I would say even older.
Yeah, the oldest profession in the world.
Listen, if we had the ability to use that, the shirts would be off, yeah, all the time.
If we looked anything like that, we would have our shirts
That's
off.
Pretty dope.
I don't? Oh, God. What's wrong with my mirrors?
I do. The only thing I do like about this is my abs have no definition.
Oh, my God.
Still a little bit of curve
which
there.
Which is impressive.
And okay. I love the Back to the Future painting.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that great?
Oh, yeah. Someone
That's
never.
So
That's
rad.
Like my favorite
I mean, for fuck's sake, Jonah wears a shirt in the pool.
I do.
Oh. Yeah.
Who doesn't? I do. Yeah. Wait, you guys don't
guy.
Do that?
No, it's because my skin, I don't want to get burned.
Yeah.
And my skin reacts weird to lotions.
Oh, that's weird. My skin reacts weird to shame. That's why I wear a shirt.
I don't like the feeling of wet clothes sticking to
when
me.
When I was a kid,
I know nothing
when
else.
When I was a peckin', I would like have to like act like I fell in the pool and be like, "Oh, I'm just going to go with it." Real sad. Yeah.
That
stuff.
Was your gambit every time?
Yeah. I didn't go to too many, so it worked. It wasn't like a constant thing.
I need to know, what are the struggles of a young athletic kid growing up? That was definitely not...
Well, I will say this. When, you know, I was good at sports, but my strength, let's say, like I would hit kids hard, I was captain of the teams, but when it came to like quantifiable strength, like bench press, pull-ups, I remember us, you know, in football... In like junior high, like or maybe it was going into ninth grade, they sat us all on either side of this hallway with a dip bar in the middle,
mm-hmm.
which looks like this medieval torture kind of device with the bars and everything. And so they said, you know, one by one, we all got called up to do dips. And I thought, psh, I got this, you know, get up there, and I couldn't do one.
Oh wow!
And I went and lowered in again and tried to do it again, and I couldn't do one. And so, you know, I couldn't do one pull up. So I was good at sports, but I was also a kid who just didn't. It was built like a stick. And just didn't have that type of strength. And so something in me just got really angry about it and swore that, like, I'm going to figure this out. And there was a history teacher at my high school who apparently was pulling the kids who were getting picked on or the kids that were, you know, not making sports teams. And he would take them, and he trained bodybuilders in the 70s and had a gym in his garage with all these like old Nautilus equipment and free weights and stuff, and he would take.
He should play
the
Freddy
rest
Kruger.
Of this story is not going to fly. The rest
I was about
of
to
the
say,
story.
This was definitely a product of the times.
Yeah. Once again, yeah, never happened. Yeah.
I open a. What's the big deal? I open a gym in my house, and I have some of the teens
I
over.
I only have one rule: no shirts. Yeah. I bring out the water. It all works out. Yeah. Everyone gets a little spritz. Yeah. It's, everybody's
oh, picture
fine.
Time! Picture yeah. time, everybody.
And we drink this like iced tea before we worked out, and then I'd wake up afterwards.
What was in that funny iced tea?
Oh, my God.
Did we Jesus work out?
Juice. Yeah, you're doing great. Yeah, I feel sore.
Yeah. Oh, you worked out just fine.
As the garage is closing.
Oh God!
So then we just turned it such a sweet story about a teacher.
Look,
not only is he a teacher, but he's like pulling in kids.
He's helping kids. He's helping Joe. Realize.
Nothing happened. Do you hear me? Nothing happened.
Oh God! He's really defensive.
So this guy like literally was taking the scrawny kids in high school and turning them into. Monsters, like bigger than the kids on the teams. I think he had just had like kind of a fuck you to the coaches and kind of the establishment and had better techniques than the coaches and was like, I'll show you, I'll show them. And so we trained these kids and they were huge. And one of them was a really good friend of mine who was a nerdy kid. We were like the nerd. We were the nerds together. He was like my nerd buddy growing up. And he went on to get his – he finished his – master's in 4 years at Stanford and then went to MIT for his PhD and now he's teaching at Duke. And
what a dick.
Wow. Yes. And I'm like fucking running around naked in the woods as this like asshole werewolf, like come on dude, like I just shake my head and look down at the ground when I see him. I'm like
you still the wolf guy? Yeah what are you doing changing the world?
Yeah, what are you doing? Well, we're working on this Predator suit that the troops can act. It helps, like we're working on drones.
That guy goes to TSA, they're not like, ooh, someone went to MIT.
No one's looking at his dick at TSA.
They're not.
So I got that going for me.
Yeah, no. The pool's nice. Pond is nice. Yeah, it's
good. Either one,
Total consciousness. So I get that going for me.
God. Now, a movie like Caddyshack, I just don't think... It could ever, it just something about it where it was kind of self-aware, but not too self-aware. Like it just hit the sweet spot.
It was just somebody having the guts to line everybody up and just go do what you do. Like you do what you do, and I'm just going to be over here. Do that thing you do, do that.
Yeah.
And then that was it. And I'm just going to go over here. And Roddy, just do that thing. And here, like take a bump and go do that.
Yeah.
I'm going to turn the camera on and just go. I mean, kind of, I think.
That
right?
Movie must have been, they must have filled the sand traps on the golf course with coke.
Oh my God. It's genius. That movie's so unbelievable. Ghostbusters is I got to meet Ivan Reitman and he once again Golden Handcuffs, he cast me as the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns in his football movie.
Yep.
And then I couldn't do it because I couldn't get 3 days off.
Oh,
to go do it.
They wouldn't give you 3 days?
No, because they can't do the schedule ahead of time. So I had to drop out.
Oh.
I mean it was
That sucks.
And God bless Ivan. I mean, Ivan called me on the phone and was like, hi, this is Ivan Reitman. I'm like, hi, Ivan. And he's like, what can we do to do this? And how can we do this? And it was like, kills you.
Please help me. please help me, Ivan Reitman.
But we talked, my whole meeting with Ivan Reitman, because I just worked with Arnold. So we talked Kindergarten Cop, we talked Twins, and then we talked Ghostbusters for an hour. And one of his producing partners was like, okay, we gotta move Ivan. And it was like, no, but wait, hold on. So Slimer, how did you
God damn it. He probably just oh man.
I know. It's like Ivan Reitman, man. I mean that's it. I mean that was it for me. When I was a kid, I could quote Ghostbusters backwards and forwards and Twins and Kindergarten Cop. I mean one of the biggest joys of working with Arnold was going into the makeup trailer in the morning and trying to get him talking about Kindergarten Cop.
That's so great.
Just getting him to do the lines,
Listen, I think if anything, he was probably happy to talk about
that. He was awesome. Yeah, it was great.
Talking about his family like this. Yeah. Like, just start talking about the movies.
That was on TV the other day. It had just started, and I was like, oh, Kindergarten Cop. I haven't seen this. And then all of a sudden, the movie was ending. I was like, oh, I just watched Kindergarten Cop.
Oh, yeah.
A fucking great movie.
Oh, yeah.
It's just one of those movies that you just don't even realize it sucks you in immediately, and it's just so fun to watch.
So classic, yeah.
What did you do with Arnold?
We did a movie called, it's called Sabotage that comes out in January. This crazy, David Ayer, the guy who did End of Watch.
Oh, right.
Training Day and all that.
End of Watch, intense movie.
Intense. So the scene in End of Watch where the feds come up, the ICE guys come up, and they're like, you guys just kick the fucking hornet's nest and get out of here. Yeah. And you don't know who you're fucking with. And those guys, those are the feds. Our movie is basically those guys.
Oh, wow.
So we're the DEA who gets sent in to break up Mexican cartel stronghouses. You know.
Is it going
to
be shot in the same way? Or
it's yeah, it's really like, so great. It looks like I just did ADR and got to see some of it. It looks like Chopper, like oh, Romper fuck. Stomper. Like it looks yeah. like some kind of like gritty Australian fucked up movie about this gang that works for the government.
Romper Stomper.
And we're all
Romper
like,
Stomper's a nice ref.
Haven't seen it so
covered
long.
Like I mean Sam Worthington's bald with this chin beard that's like a foot long braided with like these crazy like white power tattoos on his head. I mean it's like really gritty because we're all undercover in gangs.
Yeah.
Like, so we all look like psycho criminals.
There's your Romper Stomper reference.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, that's it's just nuts. Totally fucking off the wall crazy.
That sounds yeah, it was
nuts. It's
I
awesome.
Was way into End of Watch. I watched it on a plane. It was like afterwards I fucking had to take a break.
Yeah.
It's just so intense.
Well, I worked with all those guys for about 4 months and we trained for about two and a half months before we started shooting, like every day, all day. Like in the morning I was powerlifting, then I was going to do MMA, stand up and ground fighting, then I was going to the gun range with the sheriff's department, then I was having like almost like classroom meetings with like the guy who End of Watch is based on. Those are all one guy's stories.
Oh,
so I sat
fuck.
Down with him and got all those stories from him. He gave me books to read. We talked about cases. We talked about
Jesus.
And then I
that sounds great.
And then I was doing ride-alongs, which was really
where
crazy. I can't really oh, okay. I'm not supposed to yeah. I can say that, you know, but I
like,
don't want to get
this way
somewhere bad yeah. that's very close to here.
Oh, that way.
Frighteningly close yeah, to yeah, right like there. Where we yeah. live yeah, yeah. And the
you're
stuff
probably talking
I,
about you're probably talking about right here at Fairfax and Santa and Sunset, because that Bristol Farms
oh,
is like
have you ever tried to park there?
I mean oh the God. Parking is crazy.
Might as well be a Trader Joe's at that point.
Your ride along is just a Trader Joe's yeah. parking lot.
And it's just it's the most intense thing that ever happened in my yeah. life.
No, there's like no spots. Listen, there's like no spots.
Kid, you know how to use this? Okay, it's going to be right between the seat cushions. Just in, I'm just, God forbid, just in case. You don't wear a vest when you go to Bristol Farms? No, man, if it's my time, it's my time. Let's go get some Diet Coke.
You know how fast those rotisseries spin.
Whole Foods spin. Doesn't fucking have it.
Yeah. You know, they say that asparagus is organic, but that shit ain't, man.
They're out of hummus. Get down. Get down.
So with the training and then the shooting, mm-hmm. that was like your entire time off from True Blood?
For
that?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, it pretty much started like right after Comic-Con. I went straight into training, and then we shot all the way through till December. And then I went to Tahiti.
Nice.
Just for vacation?
Just to try to come out of character like a little bit. Yeah. It was really weird. Like friends of mine were like, what is wrong with you?
People.
You know, what is like, what's like, are you like, why are you so serious? Like, what the
I
hell
used to
is
be able
on?
To sell you're cocaine like, in front of you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now you really changed.
Now you only
Joe.
Buy a little bit.
Why are you making me cover my white power tattoos?
Change, man.
It is.
Well,
it
it's
is.
Also you're a character that's in a character. Which is kind of, that's like a weird, that's got to be weird
super
for the
weird.
Brain.
It is weird because, yeah, I think it is, and especially for, you know, when I talk to the guys that actually do it, it is weird. And it does affect them and their personal lives do suffer. There's just no way around it.
Yeah.
You know, it's how do you come home after that, you know? I mean, I talked to one of these guys and he said that, you know, in 23 years he never had a conversation with his wife about what he did.
Ugh.
You know, because you can't. I mean, it's like, I mean, you saw End of Watch. I mean, there's like, you're finding heads and corpses and body parts and just some of the stuff that was explained to me, the way these guys do. I mean, just the stories about what they did when they captured like a rival cartel member's girlfriend, and I mean, like what happened. I mean, it's so incredibly fucked. Like Wes Craven couldn't have come up with this shit, you know. I mean, there's no way.
It's probably the insane. Emotional equivalent of what happens to wrestlers when they get older. But emotionally, it's just like shot after shot after shot after shot, and then eventually I don't know how. I mean, I would imagine
that you are the Iron Sheik, and that's the only way you can be.
You are Ravishing Rick Rude in all capital letters on your driver's license. You are the warrior. When the spaceship lands, I will take the championship belt back to parts unknown.
I just don't know how you either.
They're all so fucked. They're all so fucked.
You either would have to,
brother. Yeah, let me tell you something, Hardwick. Yeah, we're the Macho Man,
dude. That's what you got to do. You got to play Macho Man.
If there's a script for a Macho Man movie, I'm it.
Yeah.
There's no way that can't happen.
The story of Randy Poffa.
That was an incredibly good Macho Man.
Yeah, really tell us to snap into a Slim Jim.
Something, yeah. When I drop the scepter on the spine, yeah. Oh, yeah. Tell you something, all those Hulkamaniacs saying the prayers, eating them vitamins, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's the hand motion and the
snap character. Into it. Yeah. Bone saws, ready?
And you know how fucking amazing it would be if you played him in the movie and then you got to be in Spider-Man again in the scene, but you're playing him?
So meta, bro.
Fucking yeah.
And then they got me to show up the set. Well, I showed up the set and met Macho Man that day because he was my favorite wrestler. And I was like, I got to meet him. So I came and I wasn't working that day, but they brought me in to meet him. And, you know, my character's name is Flash. So someone introduced me as, hey, this is Joe, and he plays Flash. He goes, yeah, Slash. And I go, hey, hi. And literally, it was amazing. He stood there, and there was a blonde woman with very beautiful, very voluptuous blonde woman squirting lube into her hands and lubing him, just keeping him slicked and lubed
at all times
through the whole conversation. And so I'm talking to him and I'm just like, man, you know, I really just, you know, I think the wrestling changed after WrestleMania 5 when the mega powers exploded, and I just don't think it was the same after that. And he's like, oh yeah, he knows what's up, yeah. And like, she's just lubing, and it was really fucking weird because there's another person standing right there, so you want to change focus and include her in the conversation, but she never looked up once.
Invisible.
Like, this is your job.
Even to him.
Lube. Yeah. Like, lube me.
Did he offer you any? You want some of this?
He's like, yeah, bro, get up on this. Yeah.
Did you get his album? You know, you put out an album.
Oh, yeah, man.
This is my favorite story anyone's ever told me. Like, ever.
The Macho Man. I mean, it was
I was just watching him the other night. Just a, you know, obviously a YouTube clip of him and Mean Gene. And
good burgers Mean Gene has.
Just he would just spin around. He was so high at this point.
Yeah.
Like, it was incredible, and he still did a great job of being Macho Man.
I can't believe Elizabeth married him.
Miss Elizabeth.
I can totally. He's a comic genius. That man's a genius. He's brilliant. I mean, I think you're talking about the, if you YouTube Macho Man on Coke.
It's probably
an interview comes out with however many million views.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
It's him like, ooh, yeah, I mean, gee, and he talks with his back the whole time.
Yes. And he keeps spinning around.
And he's like, yes. He's like, well, you know. Macho is so okay. And then Macho's like walking away. He walks off camera and you just hear him off camera going, the interview's over.
Yes.
Dig it.
Well, there you have it, Macho Man Randy Savage.
Oh, yeah, Gene, let me tell you something. Yeah.
Macho Man, how do you feel about Hulk Hogan and Miss Elizabeth?
Hulk Hogan, I don't think much about him. Yeah. I'll be there with the lovely Elizabeth in my corner, yeah.
He played our friend Carlos. Carlos did this cartoon in Nickelodeon called The X's, and he cast Macho Man as a villain just because he wanted to work with him. And he was like, he's amazing. You don't give him any line readings. He just puts the weirdest intonations on stuff. Like, if you wanted him to say, like, hey, I found a puppy, he'd go, hey, I found a puppy. Like, he would put the intonations in the weirdest places that they could never tell him.
Well, that bone saw is ready. It's like, bone saw is ready. Like, hey, there's an up. Crazy note.
I was always afraid he was going to pop. Like, he always looked like he was going to pop.
Guard, is this man? What was that?
Gene Okerlund right here is a crime pal. Can't. Yeah, Rolls Royce.
I'm very
top
curious.
Top of the line.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, I'm reading yesterday's newspaper. Say goodbye.
Bye.
Okay, now get out of here, Bill. On the outside will be no factory, because I am ready, and I will not let this opportunity slip through my fingers. Cup of coffee, man. Yeah. Wow, man, freaked out!
Final champion of the world, Macho Man
nothing
Randy.
Nothing means nothing. Nothing means nothing. Man.
Nothing.
Unjustifiably in a position that I'd rather not be in. But the cream will rise to the top. Oh, yeah. Macho Madness, he has got more to offer than President Jack Tunney. And let me point to the president. I am the cream. I'm living in a nightmare. And I am the cream. I'm on my way, and nothing is gonna stop me. Nobody does it better.
Here's a
nobody does creamer. It better.
He was referencing the Spy Who Loved Me.
Yeah. Oh my
God. Goes on and the beat goes on.
Yes.
Cup of coffee. And the beat goes on. Cup of coffee. Yeah.
How aware do you think he was?
Holy shit.
Oh, they said they went to pick him up on Spider-Man. They went to pick him up at the airport dressed like that. Like he came off the plane that way.
He was just that guy.
Oh, he talks that way all the time. That was just his thing. I guess those guys just become that.
Yeah, it's weird though, because it's like, you know, when you're putting together a character, Macho Man Randy Savage, there's not much to that. There's not much you can pull for a character work, and then he created this just psycho.
Oh,
he's just
God.
A psychotic man.
It's the best.
Have you seen, the Rise and Fall of the Ultimate Warrior, that documentary?
Yes, I watched that, yeah.
It's when they compile all of his speeches that make no sense whatsoever.
He was really out there. That guy. God. That's a guy who, I don't know what his roids were laced with, but it was.
Did he become like a born-again? Something happened.
I don't know,
to him.
But he has a camp called Warrior Camp. Well, he'll teach you how to wrestle, which I really fucking want to go.
We will send you for the YouTube channel.
Oh, we would send you.
You guys need to go Warrior Camp.
I'll go with you.
Yeah, let's
we'll
go.
Both go.
Yeah, I think it's funnier if you do it than he does it. He'll be good at it.
Well,
that was kind of my dream when
together.
I was a kid. Definitely, I remember my mother when I was a little kid asking me what I wanted to be, and according to her, I said I either want to be a professional wrestler or a pimp.
But then that's when you figured out your professional wrestler's character. The pimp.
Totally.
Yeah, that would be it.
I could be the slickster.
Yeah, and you just have a huge fucking coat that all the ton of girls are holding on behind.
Oh, yeah,
you.
Man. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
That is
here's the Ultimate Warrior. Bring that's on Mean Gene.
June 6th, The Rock.
It's got a commercial for The Rock.
Yeah. Is this the one about the plane?
No,
the pilots have made their sacrifice.
This is The Rock's reality show, which is on TNT.
What?
Yeah.
I will take the plane into a nosedive.
We'll wait for this to finish up, but it looks like people are on buildings and stuff.
A commercial for The Rock over a clip of The Rock. So,
well, it's not The Rock. It's going to be Ultimate Warrior, but I mean, they know their market.
But it's kind of like
this is good.
I mean, that's like Fear Factor without eating bugs,
pretty much, but like getting ripped. Also, probably.
I'll take that.
Beating the shit out of bugs.
Take a gene. All right, I thank you very much, Vince McMahon. I've got to pose some of the questions to you, Ultimate Warrior,
so
that
brown.
Vince just discussed with the World
he
Wrestling Federation champion, Hulk Hogan. First of all, what happened tonight? Ultimate Warrior.
What happened tonight was already written, Hulk Hogan. It was written a long time ago when the warriors that came before me and you saw to it that what we must do is beyond us, Hulk Hogan. I stood with my back to you, Hulk Hogan, and I knew you would not come. But Hulk Hogan, when I looked into your eyes, I saw walls filled with fear. Fear that ran thick through you, Hulk Hogan, at Royal Rumble. I needed no friends. I needed no partners. Every man stands by himself like the Ultimate Warrior always has. But Hulk Hogan, you still do not understand.
You know, why do I feel like that if that guy were in an acting class, no matter what he'd seen he was doing, it would still be...
And it's great every time.
Remember when I told you you didn't kill me? You didn't care when I said I'd kill my wife.
That's just Nick Cage acting. That's
that is. Yeah. He's the soul of the
every
soul
choice.
Of Nick Cage.
Every choice.
I heard...
To be or not to be! That is the question I am asking you, Hulk Hogan.
Oh, this is what we have to do. This is what we have to do with you. We have to figure out how to make the Macho Man movie with you as Macho Man.
How to capitalize. It would be a period piece about the 80s with me as Randy Poffo, a.k.a. the Macho Man.
And it's just called Savage.
It's perfect!
Yeah.
I can't watch.
Or Macho. Man,
no,
Savage.
Why did you just shit on the reaction we got from Jonah's brilliant name and try to change it?
I don't know.
Savage is the way to go.
Spitballing,
you're
bro.
Right. I was spitballing. Savage is the way to go. I'm so excited about this. Oh my God,
it'd be incredible.
Right. Here's what we'll do.
All the guys you cast, all the old wrestlers.
Here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna write a trailer for this fake movie, and I'm gonna have you be in it.
Done.
Well, you'll
you
do
know
it.
What comes
oh my
here
God!
Is
but we need to cast. Like,
yeah, we'll get it.
We're
right.
gonna get
we'll
the
talk
right
to
cast.
You. Yeah.
Rowdy Piper comes here a lot.
What?
Yeah.
Well, he's too old to play himself.
Maybe, maybe. But we'll still figure
who
it
else?
Out.
We need a young Miss Elizabeth. We need a young Hogan, right?
Yep, yep.
We need a young Leaping Lenny. His brother, his brother Lenny Poffo, the genius.
Well, we'll put CM Punk. We can make him someone
else.
We can
recast these guys. Yeah.
That's going to cost a lot of money to airbrush out his tattoos.
No, makeup. You say we'll do it.
It's a different time. We need a young Junkyard Dog.
I'm on it.
Young Jesse the Body.
I'm on it.
Oh, yeah. James Adomian.
Let me tell you something, Gene.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something, Gorilla. This shit makes Cambodia look like Kansas.
You should play all of them.
That was from a political speech, I think, that line.
I remember when we were shooting this movie with Arnold, one of my favorite moments ever was us crammed onto this scaffold. Like, we were outside of this shitty, you know, apartment in like, the hood, and we were getting ready to film this scene, and we're all crammed onto this fire escape, and it's me and, like, Sam Worthington and Terrence Howell. We're all, like, crammed back, ran back Arnold. He's breaking down the door. And we're, you know, cramped and waiting for them to yell rolling, and I just said, this shit makes Cambodia look like Kansas. And Arnold turned around and they go, we're rolling, and Arnold turns and looks at me and goes, if it bleeds, we can kill it.
Fucking awesome.
And me and Worthington, and they go, action. And me and Worthington look at each other and we're like, yeah, with these huge machine guns on our hands, and we're like, yes.
Why'd you guys come in the room smiling? I don't think it works for the character. You look like little kids.
These are now two of my favorite stories ever told on the Nerdist podcast.
That's
well, and then I had a line where I'm yelling, you know, in a scene with Arnold, and I had this line that was, you know, I'm yelling bullshit, you know, at him.
Yeah.
And I couldn't help but go, oh, bullshit! Bullshit! You know, like the way in Predator when he grabs Carl Weathers.
Oh, my God.
You set us up!
You know, and how did he respond?
Well, no, I mean, we were in character, but afterwards I was just like, I couldn't help but.
That's great.
It
sounds like a good movie for him.
Yeah, I can't wait for this to happen.
It's super gritty. He's got a neck tattoo. And
that's
awesome.
I mean,
it's really, like, dark.
Does he still move real good? Or
Yeah, man.
How old is he now?
65. And he still works out every day.
He's still pretty cut.
Killing it, man.
Yeah.
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 Which gives me hope. You know, like when I see guys who are in their 60s and they still look like they're pretty, like someone just posted, there was a picture on Reddit of Harrison Ford with his shirt off.
At 70?
He's 70.
Fucking amazing.
And he's fucking cut.
Yeah.
He's cut. He has abs. He has fucking abs. And he looks fantastic.
Just fucking get high and work out every day. That could happen to you too.
I was looking at, that's true. You just, all you have to do is get high, work out, fly a helicopter. Done.
We determined that heroin earlier in the podcast.
Heroin and peanut butter
really
will get
go.
You jacked.
Oh, see, this went in such a great direction because I was about to go down this path of, you were talking about these guys who worked these jobs that you were talking about, and I was saying, like, emotionally they're like wrestlers, which is, I think, where we got off on the one of
male
the best
strippers are really like professional wrestlers. I swear to you,
they
like knee high, like leather boots with
it.
Like trunks on and bright colors.
Good point.
I mean, literally, it's like, and you do a routine, so you play this character.
Yeah,
it's so. Pro wrestling,
but just kind of a solo routine versus
it's like Ravishing Rick Rude. Like, he was kind of the bridge between male stripping and professional wrestling.
If I could just get one pair of those pants,
totally.
But aging male strippers.
Hit the music.
Aging male.
I'm gonna show all you greasy sweat hogs sitting on the couch at home. Turn away so I can show the ladies a body that is truly ravishing. Hit the music.
He's another one of those wrestlers with like two adjectives. There's ravishing and there's rude. His name is just Rick.
Ravishing Rick.
Yeah. I'm telling you, Joe, this podcast may be like the greatest audition you've ever had in your life.
For the WWE.
I'm telling you, though. This is so fucking fantastic.
Hey, if The Rock still comes back and wrestles every time a movie's coming out.
Dude, I'm telling you. I mean, I gotta, like, I can't wait. Like, And the WWE has been talking to me about, like, you know, when are you coming and hosting wrestling? And I'm like, just let me do the movie with Arnold. Like, let me get that in the can. I'm going to come in. Like, my only thing, my only, like, request is that I get to hit somebody with the chair. And they're like, done. Yeah. Oh, it's done. Yeah. And I talked to Kevin Nash about bringing the Wolfpack back.
Yeah.
The NWO Wolfpack. It's a full moon tonight, brother.
This is all wheelhouse for me. I love it.
So are you going to do it or are you going to turn up?
Hell yeah. Are you kidding? I'm getting like my old red NWO shirt out. Are you kidding? I'm all over this. Nash, bro, we got to go.
Oh, my God.
Let's do this.
See, so the golden handcuffs
get Razor
job.
Ramon.
This is amazing.
What the hell is Scott
They're trying
Hall
to
doing?
Rebuild him. They're trying to rebuild. I saw there's a Kickstarter.
They have the technology.
I'm not kidding. There was a Kickstarter. I don't know if it was successful or not, but like for like Diamond Dallas Page and Kevin Nash to like help Scott Hall, like he's off of his painkillers. He's really fucked up right now and old and kind of big. So they're trying to like get him back into shape.
Oh my God.
So there was a Kickstarter to do that. And I don't know if it was successful, but.
So this is what's going to happen. So to start, we're going to shoot the fake trailer for the movie Savage.
Yeah. Ooh.
With Joe.
Do you think we could get the okay from WWE? I bet we could.
We can just shoot it as a parody.
Yeah, I know.
Like,
but hey, if we got
Vince,
their help,
Vince
we could
likes
open
publicity,
up the archives.
Man. Vince likes publicity.
Yeah. Listen, I don't know what the reality is, but. One of us at this table's company was bought by a big film company.
Right.
Thanks, guys. It's been really exciting.
Congratulations, Jonah.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that Carolco had such interest in what you were doing.
They moved from Terminator. We got Terminator back. We've been looking at you for the new liquid.
No, I'm gonna pitch the shit out of this to anyone who will listen. I'm gonna pitch the shit out of this to anyone who will listen. So,
write a trailer.
So you'll write the trailer. Yeah. We'll make it easy. We could shoot it in one day, so it doesn't. And we'll shoot it around your schedule, and then we'll just get a sense of what it'll look like
in a world. One man named Joe Manganiello plays every wrestler. Behind every great wrestler
is a savage.
Oh, you've already written the log line. You just did the goddamn trailer voiceover. You've done everything.
It's happening.
It's
happening.
It's kind of happening.
I'll email you a draft.
Yeah,
like next week.
Matt's not going to sleep now. He's not going to fucking sleep.
All over it.
Oh my God, this is very exciting.
We can recreate. Yeah, we'll totally. We'll
oh my
totally.
God, we'll get a ring.
Paul Scheer?
Maybe. I like it.
I don't know, man. You had a good Mean Gene going on there.
Right? Maybe I should.
Maybe you should.
We'll just keep the mustache.
We'll just bald cap.
Who's Lord Alfred Hayes?
Dude,
Stiglitz.
You're telling me you wouldn't shave your head for this just down the middle? You wouldn't just shave the top part of your head for this?
It's got too many divots. I look like I have Down syndrome. I've made it once.
All right.
That took a weird turn.
Well, how do we recover from this one? Do the voices again, Joe. Do the voices.
I can't.
Remember a second ago, we were all laughing. And
I can't
stop
thinking about the divots. I can't stop thinking.
No, the Myra effect.
Hey, fuck you guys.
Hey, you're adorable. No, you're going to. That's the Myra method. Remember the Myra method?
Oh, that the book I'm still going to write?
That was your anti-motivational book. It's perfect. We're going to do this. I'm very excited.
I'm into it.
So what's next? Now you've got True Blood, and then you're done in a couple weeks, I would imagine.
Like a month, monthish, less than a month, few weeks.
And then what? After you shoot the Savage trailer,
and then after that, I got to finish my book, which comes out in December.
What's your book?
I have a book deal with Simon & Schuster. They asked me to write the cutting edge book of fitness.
Oh wow! Okay, so
nice
fitness tips. I enjoy fitness.
It's a blueprint how to. Like, from whatever level you're at, like, just, this is how you do it.
How about this level, buddy?
This is how you do it.
To be honest, this was my plan to only ask you questions about fitness.
Let's get into it. So, yeah, I mean, it's just literally from the ground, from the guy, the skinny kid in high school who couldn't do one pull-up, one dip. This is how you do it.
Are you the new Charles Atlas? Don't let them kick sand in your face.
More like Jack Palance or something.
Jack
LaLanne.
Jack LaLanne.
I'm going to swim with this boat behind me from Alcatraz.
I'm going to pull 38 buses because I'm 87.
Is there diet nutrition stuff in there, or is it just
diet, nutrition, cardio, how the muscles work? And a lot of it is the psychology behind it, because, you know, I think a lot of people set goals and don't achieve them. And, well, why? What's keeping you from that? And, you know, for me, like, there were people that, you know, I shook my finger a lot and was like, that guy's on fucking roids and fuck that guy and he has the right genetics, and I just, you know, everything was a reason why that guy was born with something or doing something, and you know, I was a guy who wasn't born with those genetics, and I've never touched a steroid and never touched a human growth hormone or anything, you know, and so this is like how you do it naturally. From if you can't do a pull up, we're going to teach you how to do it.
Probably shook Macho Man's hand, so you did touch
something. Yeah. Something in that rib, man.
Something rubbed off.
That would explain why your right hand looks like a baseball mitt.
Yeah. That was the clear, not the cream.
It's like the Matrix. It just starts going on my arm.
That's the beginning of Savage.
I shake his hand and turn into him.
Yeah. Oh yeah, there's definitely some sort of an extraterrestrial element to it.
Yeah,
we mind meld. Oh, yeah, well, that's God. The Ultimate Warrior. The Ultimate Warrior came from the ship.
heartbeat goes black. You hear the ding of the ring, and then the crowd comes. I'm writing it in my head already. It's gonna savage, guys. Savage.
It's gonna be badass.
As a guy who I shun fitness my entire life because I never liked the people who were into it, and they always made me sad, and I was afraid of them.
You know, I would always fight with. I had friends who were artistic, and I had my friends that I could talk to.
Yeah.
And hang out with, and we were into making movies. I started making movies in high school, and so I had my buddies. We made movies and talk comics and did the whole thing. And I remember one of them was getting picked on by a kid on the football team who was one of the other captains. And I remember having words with this dude and shoving him in the cafeteria and really getting into it with this kid on the football team about my friend. So it's sad to think that you associated all
I
those
did.
Guys with that, because it was just assholes are assholes, man.
Yeah.
But
there's nothing more dangerous than a fucking teenager with any kind of power. Because that's when the hormones are raging, and that's when they're trying to establish their place in the world. And so when when a kid has some power, whether it be physical or even if he's a hacker, I still think those kids can be pretty hard to deal with, because they're just trying – they're testing boundaries and seeing what they can
– Right.
And so it wasn't until – so I had shunned all that my entire life and had thought it was funny that fuck – anything in the physical world, I don't really. And then, 8 years ago, I met this guy, and he was a trainer, and he kind of just happened to have sort of a nerdy soul about him, and I've been training with him ever since. And what I never would have understood before was that things that I learned while exercising were weird principles that made my life and the world better,
exactly.
Which you can't explain to someone unless they experience it.
It's this weird – I always related for me. It's like the way samurais would take up calligraphy to improve their sword strokes. Like the brush stroke was somehow this metaphor for their sword strokes. And so it was this hobby that then kind of translated. And for me, training is very much that way. There's such a, being present in the moment. You can't zone out. It's a 1 hour workout breaks into body parts, which break into sets, which break into a rep inside of the set. And the rep breaks into the positive and negative motion. And so each time you're trying to make the positive better than the last and the negative better than the last, and trying to force yourself to be more present, which then carries itself into my work and carries myself in the life.
Yeah. Well, I think the
I've mastered the negative motion.
No, negative emotion is what you meant.
I think the problem is that there are
electronic motions. I don't know.
There are certainly good trainers, but there are certainly a bad
now.
Trainer can fucking
oh my
ruin
God.
You.
Oh,
yeah. Not only ruin your body, but also ruin your fuck up your perception of what that is. And
yes.
I just got lucky that I found a guy who, his whole thesis was you have to leave feeling better than when you got here.
Mm-hmm.
And if that means we just stretch someday and we do a little bit of yoga stuff, then that's all we do.
Well, he sounds like a really nice – I leave feeling like shit. I'm writhing on the ground in the fetal position, wanting to throw up into a chalk bucket, That's me.
When I was doing CrossFit and I was doing it with a buddy, and then we'd drive home, and then I'd call him. I was like, did you almost crash your car too? He's like, yeah, they shouldn't allow you to drive home.
Shaking.
Yeah. It's like, well, it's fucking just too many dips.
Yeah.
You gotta, you really should just take a minute if you're feeling like that. Have a little bit of juice or something. Get some, but don't immediately.
Fucking...
Yeah.
It was one of those things where you just end up at home oh my God, how did I get here? Oh my God, I drove.
Your car is
in a blackout. Yeah.
And exactly. You wake up and you're on the floor and you're bloody and your car is through the front of your house.
But my arms look great.
They look fantastic.
I just remember singing down the street looking for my car and then I was home. Yeah. So I'll get done with the season and then I got to finish up the book and then that'll come out in December. And Arnold, once again, just he and I become really good friends.
Oh my God. Do you go riding with him on Sundays? And
I went double dating with Arnold on Saturday.
Oh no way. What God. The shit?
Yes.
How does that? What
it's
the
crazy.
Shit?
Yeah. I mean, I kind of can't believe it.
You smoked a Monte Cristo with him?
Oh yeah. We smoked cigars together.
Fuck.
You went to dinner with the ex-governor of California?
Yeah.
That is also impressive.
That is
top of everything
to me, that's his least impressive accomplishment.
Yeah. It kind
of
is, because, when you think about it, he is a pretty interesting guy.
Of course he is.
But, not just the movie stuff, but the fact that, He was a millionaire when he was like 22 because he had this crazy mail order vitamin business. Like, he's just a...
And just also the fact that he was like, he became a celebrity from bodybuilding. Like, that's like...
Well, at a time when bodybuilding was weird.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, it was looked at this weird subculture. I was talking to him about, you know, he knew...
Are you going to be in his new show?
We haven't talked about it. I don't
know. You should be.
Is this... Yeah. Guys, come on. Yeah.
We're going to put you in everything.
No, he's doing, Arnold pitched and they sold a show to Showtime called Pump about
really?
70s bodybuilding.
No way.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
What was the story?
Kevin Nealon is hosting it.
Well, he was friends with Andy Warhol. And because Andy was like kind of weird, you know, and thought that bodybuilding was so weird. And was like, you're one of us. And so he was talking about the factory in New York at that time. And I mean, it was like, holy shit. And, you know, and he came down and Andy did his painting. And then, I mean, it was just trippy, crazy. Yeah. I mean, there's at the Warhol Museum in Pittsburgh, where I'm from, they have a picture on the first floor of Arnold and Andy at Arnold's wedding.
Jeez,
you know, I mean, it's so crazy kind of, you know, talking to him about that. And so, yeah, I think that whole Joe Weider thing, you know, Joe brought him over and then Joe just kind of, you know, was like, you know, go to school and kind of pushed him. And then he started buying up real estate in Santa Monica and Venice, which cost nothing at the time.
Yeah.
And the guy owns half of Santa Monica. I mean, he could hardly speak English and was taking Santa Monica College night classes after training all day.
He
to
would
try
pose
to speak
in water because he didn't like his calves.
Yeah, that's true. He didn't like his calves.
No, it was amazing. I mean, it's just it's the craziest story. And then you become governor and the biggest star on the planet. And it's just and he's like one of the most charming, funny, fascinating guys you could ever possibly spend any time with.
Can you get him on the podcast?
Those early. I mean, since we're talking about it,
we're all big fans. Chris was in Terminator 3.
I was in Terminator 3.
It all works out.
Yeah. Well, anyway, if you want to get on the bike,
run it up the flagpole.
Those old videos where he's talking about, like, I think it was from, was it Pumping Iron?
Yeah.
Where he's like, oh, he's like coming. He just kept saying,
every day I lift more and it's like coming.
It's like
all
coming
over.
Every
day I pump, get the feeling from the pump, like coming.
It's just
every day I'm coming.
Just hearing him say coming over and over again, I was like, weird. That word is hitting my brain weird.
Yeah.
Coming. It's like coming. I've worked out a lot. I don't think I've ever been like, yes. Maybe that's
never,
a body.
You never got the pump. You never got the pump.
No, once again, writhing on the ground, fetal position, looking to throw up in a bucket. Furthest thing from coming in my mind.
The bodybuilder thing is like
eerily reminiscent of me losing my virginity, writhing on the ground, the fetal position.
Oh fuck! I'm sorry.
The money's on the dresser.
Ow! I can't lift my limbs.
Leave me alone.
Don't touch me.
Ow!
Don't look at me.
Really? All right, but I better see you in class tomorrow.
The bodybuilders, like that Warhol was fascinated by them, I guess does make a lot of sense. They are, like, to that level of commitment to a thing is a little fringy. Like, it's a little out there.
Well, and there was this, thinking that it was like physical artwork. You were creating a statue out of yourself. And I think that there was something to that as well. But I think it was looked at as totally weird.
It is weird, especially the guys that are so fucking big that they can't, like, they obviously, there must be some sort of a dysmorphic thing where they, I mean, because they're almost seem non-functional human beings because of how...
Well, after Arnold, I think the chemistry got jumped. Yeah. You know, there was something different going, you know, in the water. And it became about how freaky can you get? Like, how fucked up and weird can, you know, you get a look.
You ever watch the thing about the guy that, like, his bicep burst?
He blew up his fucking arm. And now it's like, it was, like, draining and he was still,
It's like, those guys can't even flex fully because they've taken so much, diuretics and... Yeah. To thin their skin out, one guy did a double bicep flex and locked up and just fell over like a tree.
Oh, no.
Jesus.
Because he had no water in him. And
oh my God,
so I think it's, you know, it's a little different now.
you know.
Because and then you can only ever wear those tank tops and then those flexi pants,
super pants.
Yeah, it's not because they think it looks good. It's just that's all they can physically put on their bodies.
Exactly, they can't do any buttons. It just doesn't
matter. Yeah, and they can't lift over their heads like the shirts. Just have to.
They just have to tear them out. They have to get a lot of cheap shirts because they just have to tear them out.
And then it's edible. It's full protein. Yeah, proper for post workout.
It's just seaweed wrap. Just seaweed.
That should be the last line of your book, which is like, and now the final test, eat this book and just see how many people like try and eat the book. If you fully trust me, eat this book.
This book is made of reclaimed protein.
Joe Manganiello's protein shirts, now available at Walmart. Oh my god, a fucking protein. Hey, if there's a Snuggie, there's no reason we can't have fucking protein shirts.
Hey man, there's edible underwear. I don't know what's in there.
I think those are just like kind of fruit roll ups. I think those are just like film. It's like the Listerine film. I've heard.
Everyone gets funny gifts.
I mean, that you try because you're curious.
Yes.
This has been a wonderful hour, Joe. This is, every time we hang out, it's more. I'm like, God damn it, that guy. We should hang out more often.
We should hang out
and not have to shoot something or record a thing. But I'm actually also really intrigued to read your book. But do you have a title yet?
It's called Evolution.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh well, that's
that could
not
be put in a weird section.
That's not getting sold in Louisiana, Texas, Mississippi.
Yeah, I didn't even think of that.
I believe
inside the dinosaur it'll be
called,
on the way.
It'll
the
be called Big Bang. There.
I believe. Yeah.
No, it can't be called that either.
I believe
no,
muscles be just called come straight from God. I mean, this
that's what you call it. Muscles from God.
Muscles from God by Joe Manganiello. That naked werewolf dude on that show you won't let your kids watch.
He's so
in that other male stripper movie that you changed the channel really quick on.
There is something that I feel like is very right about True Blood with the I mean, obviously there are naked ladies on the show, but I feel like way more naked dudes on True Blood, and I sort of feel like, you know, finally a show that's kind of, you know, exploiting guys in the way that the entertainment.
Isn't it about time? Ladies, are you with me on this one?
Yeah.
Coming up.
40 next. Years
no,
of progress have led to this.
Alan Magic Mike. You on that one.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it is. I guess it is kind of a love letter to Gloria Steinem, in a way.
there are.
It's like this is my Rodney King. Can't we all just get along?
There's a couple of those.
Let's just make love, not war. Yeah. Let's stop fighting each other. Let's just get along. There's take our pants off.
There's a couple of those
in a fireman suit.
Yeah.
With some Usher in the background.
There's a couple of those scenes where you're like, I don't feel like Jason Stackhouse needed to have a shirt off in this scene. He was just having a conversation.
Not at all.
And yet,
like, I just met this nice girl from Louisiana. I bring her back to my apartment, and I'm like, shirts off, and I'm walking around. You know, like, I mean,
gets hot in the South.
It is like it's muggy.
Yeah,
it's very swampy.
Man, it's hot in here.
Now my pants are chafing.
Hot in the South. That reminds me, we need to write in the mouth of the South.
Yes.
Oh my, totally.
We'll get him.
And we need the Slickster.
Oh, my God.
And we need Bobby the Brain.
Of course.
And we need Mr. Fuji and Demolition. Fuji.
The Natural Disasters.
And then we'll get our friend.
We need
Texas Tornado.
Bushwhackers. Warlord and Barbarian, the Powers of Pain.
Oh, yeah, shit. Yeah. They had the spikes on there.
That was Hawk and Animal.
Yeah, Hawk and Animal.
The Legion of Doom became the Road Warriors.
And then we should get our friend Craig Anton to play Andy Kaufman.
No, that's right. Yeah,
this friend of ours was going to play Andy Kaufman in the Andy Kaufman movie. Like, looks like him, had it down, and then Jim Carrey was like, "Hey, I want that." And then, because I was living in Memphis when that wall happened.
Oh my!
So I was sort of right at the epicenter of it. But you know, again, wrestling. You know, I. My friends were rabid about it, but I just wanted to be in front of a computer and then playing video games, and so I just didn't.
What were the video games?
There was the home console games like the 2600, or we had an Intellivision, or like my friends had like a ColecoVision. Like
right.
I had a network of a couple of nerdy friends who, and we had most of the consoles covered. In addition to like I had a TRS-80 Color Computer 2,
King's Quest
came in the 90s for me.
Okay.
Like 91, 92, King's Quest. We played on the PC, and then there was the arcade. There were the arcade games, which was a whole separate video game path. And then, you know, then when Nintendo came along, it was Super Mario 3 was my big game.
Oh, yeah.
Nintendo, it's for Sega, breakfast now.
Sega Genesis
Nintendo.
Golf.
Nintendo.
So yeah, what about yours?
I had the 2600. I always loved arcades.
Yeah.
So I was always, you know, big into all that arcade stuff. There was a game called Gladiator that I can't find it anywhere online, where you were this gladiator and you walked and you had to fight against someone and you hit them, and when you hit them in the chest, their armor plate came off, and then you hit him in the leg, and I just remember this crazy
Gladiator. I don't know if I remember that one.
It's a weird game. At this family restaurant in Maine.
You're probably tweeted about that.
What's going to happen is someone on the podcast will be like, I have an extra one, and then they'll just fucking send it to you.
Done.
They'll send you Gladiator.
And then it was Atari 2600, and then I was not allowed to get Nintendo, so I got a paper route and then bought one for myself.
Nice. Fuck yeah!
Fuck you, Dad.
That's how Arnold would have done it.
And ironically, you bought a copy of Paperboy.
Yeah. Yeah. He stole a copy of Paperboy.
But then he took it back. Yeah. He brought it back.
We don't want this.
I liked Super Mario too. Funny
Super
enough.
Mario
with the vegetables.
I love
it. It was so weird.
Yeah,
it was like, this is a weird game. I like it.
And the fucking egg coming out of the
eggs.
Birdie's mouth, and it's weird.
Yeah,
that's a birdie, right?
So strange. Birdie, yeah.
Birdo?
The eggs. Birdo.
No, Birdie. I think Birdie's correct.
Can we get a confirmation on this thing that doesn't matter?
She doesn't even care.
Katie's like,
what do I
even Google right now?
I don't like Birdie. Bird.
I did like Mario 2, but just
Birdo?
Birdo.
I did like Mario 2.
Super Mario 2, Birdo.
But 3, it just all came together for me.
3 is the classic.
And Super Mario Brothers 2 wasn't even really a Super Mario Brothers. It's like Super Mario Brothers was such a huge hit that like they're like, we need another game, so they just reskinned a Japanese game.
Right.
I remember the original arcade, just Mario Brothers, where they were just plumbers clearing crabs and turtles and little ice things out of plumbing.
Yeah.
You can
still play that at Fun Spot up in New Hampshire.
King of Kong. Nice.
Yeah. Kong,
way to go.
Oh, no. I used to go to Fun Spot.
No way.
I referenced
it. Did you ever run
life.
Into that one dude who retired and lives in the cabin, Brian Q?
I have never seen Brian.
Kill Screen coming up.
But
Kill Screen.
Yeah, in case anyone's interested.
But
my favorite. Oh, sorry.
A lot of those guys are always there. A lot of those guys from like if you go in like September, like after the holiday, those guys are
there's a season.
Those guys
so I was in Hollywood, Florida a few years ago doing
Billy Mitchell
an autograph signing at Coconut Creek.
Okay.
I went to Coconut Creek Hard Rock and I did a signing there. And the driver was driving me home, and he's like, "Hey, you know, these guys still have a couple hours if you know you want to go somewhere." And I was like, "Well, how close are we in Coconut Creek to Hollywood, Florida?" And he's like, "Why the fuck you want to go to Hollywood, Florida?" I was like, "Do you know where Ricky's Hot Wings is?" And he was like, "Yeah, you want to go to that place?" I said, "Yeah, we need to go to Ricky's right now." So I went to Ricky's and made somebody who was with us go to the bartender, and they went, "Hey, listen, I'm with a couple of celebrities. And they're seated over at that table right there. They're on a show called True Blood. And they're huge fans of Billy Mitchell's. Could you get him down here?" And they were like, "Well, Billy's not in." And they said, "Well, could you call Billy?" And so they called Billy. And sure enough, like, he had no fucking idea. Like, about True Blood. But his daughter loved it.
Uh-huh.
So he, like, they walked over to my table and they were like, "Hi, Bill would like to speak to you." And I picked up the phone and he goes, "Hello, Bill Mitchell. Can I help you?" And I went, "Hey, champ, what's going on?" And then we just started talking, and he sent us home with all these bottles of Ricky's hot sauce.
Nice.
And
is this the third favorite story you've ever heard of the podcast?
It is.
That's pretty great.
Does Billy Mitchell's daughter have a flag tie and a beard? I like to think that all the family look.
Yeah.
What happened was Billy couldn't come down. He was busy or whatever. And his daughter called from New York. She like goes to college in New York and got on the phone and talked to me. And then,
oh my God,
Billy was so happy that, you know, for that, that he sent us home with hot wings. I swear to God, they were the best hot wings I've ever had in my life.
I swear, the man knows hot sauce. Like, they weren't kidding.
I've had Ricky's hot sauce.
We can't get it in California.
It's incredible.
Yeah. He won't sell it.
He won't sell it. But they had a premiere party at Big Wings in Hollywood for when that movie came out, for when King Kong. A bunch of us went. And they had like a bunch of take home bottles of Ricky's hot sauce. And they were saying they had to like send someone to go buy
That's
them
amazing.
And bring them back.
They're amazing.
Yeah.
It's Billy real good hot Mitchell, sauce. Primo Joystick, dude. That's the song that the guy writes.
Billy's on the move.
And Steve Weeb. Steve Weeb.
My favorite thing about Brian,
something just feels.
But Walter says he calls it. He keeps calling him Steve Weeb.
Yeah, I'm. I was the Mappy champion, and you know, there's just Billy. You know, Steve's got a really good score going on right now. But I mean, I don't know. To beat Billy, he's gonna have to have a really good third man.
Yeah. My favorite thing about Brian Q is that like
his shirts came right out of the package. Is that
right out of the package? You see the
the creases, the fold creases in his JCPenney shirt. That's a salmon color.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that guy is still retired. He probably took a hit in the stock market when that.
Apparently, I looked online, in one day, like Brian Q broke like 112 records. On video games and one like so they made him to be like the you know like the henchman kind of you know, guy, but he's actually like
I used to always go in there.
Complete video
got a pretty
game
good
stuff.
Game of Ladybug going on in the corner.
No, yeah, we have a Ladybug cabinet in the in the cabin. Yeah. but I used to go into a fun spot and I would always get number one on Tetris every time I went in there.
No way, Jesus! Why? What the hell are we doing here?
Why don't you submit it to Twin Galaxies?
Yeah.
Well, I never knew. I could never tell if it was a really good score because they shut the switch at night and everything. All the scores get wiped.
Oh.
So I would always go set it the day of. But
you'd
I could always
set up
I could
a camera,
the,
and then it would have to be okayed.
Yeah, you have to go get your Frogger machine and then push it through traffic.
I'm pretty sure they don't
and prove that there wasn't some kind of sticky substance
on the right chip. On the right chip. On the right board.
Yeah, where's Captain Awesome? What's
I was just about to
have
say.
Have you had him on the podcast?
He must be dead, right? Because he's in pretty bad shape.
No, Captain Awesome is not dead. Captain Awesome is with us.
You know they wouldn't let him into the party?
Yeah.
No.
That party I went to, they wouldn't let, because apparently he's like been really mean towards the whole production of it.
Yeah.
And like is trying to sue them. And so like there was just like, he's not allowed, but he showed up because he knew it was happening.
Dude, that guy's amazing. I mean, they're all amazing. You couldn't cast it better.
But he hobbles around. He's like, he's in real bad shape.
Well, when he's not hobbling around, he drives the Awesomeobile to fame and fortune.
Totally. Fucking Captain Awesome.
Oh, God.
You're all Captain Awesome.
We had a good time today.
Oh, it's good to see you. I don't mean in the literal sense. Not that guy. I mean like spiritually.
Yeah, because that's like it's
Captain
an insult.
Awesome. No, spiritually you're all Captain Awesome. Okay. Yeah, you did a good job. All right, Macho Man Joe Manganiello.
Yeah, Hardwick. Yeah. Something Hardwick. Yeah.
Yes.
Nerdist Podcast. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Cup of coffee. Yeah. The cream rises to the top. Yeah.
Have them do the side. Now tell everyone to enjoy their burrito.
Everybody enjoy your burrito, yeah! Dig it! This interview is over!
Well, there you have it.
It's over!
You want a beef or a chicken burrito?
Slim Jim!
Yeah.
Gotta have beef, gotta have spice. Need a little excitement. Snap into a Slim Jim!
I gotta look up this weekend. Oh my God, that was fucking awesome.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.